Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. Today we're going to be continuing a message that we began last time on the subject of backsliding. This is not a how-to, but hopefully steps that we can see in order to avoid making the same mistakes that Peter had made. Please enjoy the conclusion of this message entitled, The Road to Denial.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
Oh, Pastor, I've met this somebody new. First question I ask, are they a Christian? Does it matter? Well, yes. The Bible says not to be unequally yoked together, a believer with an unbeliever. Oh, but God, she's gorgeous. Have you looked at her? You know, she's going to church with me now. I can change her. Or ladies, I've heard that more from you than I heard from the men. Oh, I can change him. Look, he's been to church with me once since we started dating, but he's going to be a committed Christian once we get married. Understand that you two are operating under different moral codes. You have different masters. When you get married, and if you are not both committed to Jesus Christ, then on any given day, you're going to get up and you're going to be going in your direction. He's going to get up and he's going to be going in his direction. On any given day, you guys can be going in completely opposite directions, or you could be butting heads. But if he is committed to Christ and she is committed to Christ, then they're going to be constantly going in Christ's direction. And they're going to be pulling together, and God is going to honor and bless that family. You may have differences. You may disagree on what color to paint the bathroom or which way the toilet paper should hang on the roll. Who cares? But your foundation for life, your foundation for living is the Word of God. And on that, you cannot compromise. Amos said in chapter 3, verse 3, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? You can't. One will have to change his convictions. God's ideal is both be walking together side by side with Christ as master. Hey, the first mistake Peter's road to denial was arguing with God. The first mistake any of us will make is saying, well, Lord, I know what you say, but I think my way is better. Isaiah 55:8 answers that. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I put this picture in as an illustration. I went up to that pheasant hunt in South Dakota. I happened to catch a ride up with Ross Perot Jr. out of Dallas. I'd never met the man before. He's a wonderful Christian, member of Highland Park Presbyterian Church. He had a Gulfstream 550. About a $50 million airplane, exactly. I looked out the window. I've never been that high. I will never be that high again until about twinkling of an eye after the rapture. But most commercial planes fly at like 35, 37,000 feet. We were at like 45,000 feet. That is cloud cover that far down below us. I took some other shots. You could actually see the glow of the atmosphere. We were that high. Now the earth is another 20,000 feet below the cloud cover. Now get the picture. God says, as much as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Guess which one of us is smarter? Folks, the first step to blowing it was when we read God's word and said, well, God, you may say that, but I disagree. Step number two, Peter boasted of himself. All these others, they may fail you, Lord. That'll never happen to me. Watch out. Folks, when you start boasting in your own strength, then you'll begin to get careless. And you begin to take chances, thinking that, well, maybe others have stubbed their toes and failed, but with this temptation or that temptation, but I'm just too strong. I'm just too spiritual. Ladies and gentlemen, do not boast in your flesh. David is the only man in the Bible that God called a man after his own heart. First king of Israel was beautiful on the outside. Saul was like 7 feet tall, big old muscular guy, but he kept having conflicts with his will against God, and God removed him. Sent Samuel to go anoint the next king, went to Jesse's household, look at all his big brothers, these big strapping young men. Nope, 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 nope. Well, is anybody left? Well, yeah, I got the run of the litter. He's out watching the sheep. Bring him in. God told Samuel, don't look on the outside. I'm looking at his heart. He said, that's the one. David, a man after God's own heart. But what happened? David got full of himself. David thought, oh, I'm too strong. I'm a man after God's own heart. Hey, Joab, you guys go ahead and take the soldiers. Go off. It's a time of war. You guys go over here and take care of some things. I'm going to stay here at home. Out on his roof, looked over the rooftop, saw Bathsheba bathing on her roof. What did he do? He looked again. First look's not sin. The second look is sin. Can't help and seeing some things for the first time. Oh, she's a beautiful young woman. Well, very good. Move on. Oh, she's a beautiful young woman. That's when you get into trouble. And that's what happened to David. Next thing you know, he had committed adultery. And you all know the story. Next thing you know, he committed murder to cover up his adultery. Now, folks, let me just say this. If that can happen to David, then it can happen to you, too. It can happen to me as well. Paul said of his own flesh, I know that in my flesh, not his spirit, but in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Don't trust yourself. You alone are no match for the devil. But I've got good news. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't boast in your own strength. Instead, walk humbly in the power of the Holy Spirit and be girded up with the armor of God. Number three, Peter didn't watch and pray. They arrived in Gethsemane. Jesus said, you men, watch and pray, what? That you enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. But what did they do? They didn't do either. They laid down and went to sleep. They slumbered. Recognize that, as we just mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, our flesh is weak. Our flesh is not trustworthy. Victory comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that doesn't just happen. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit the moment we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. But we are commanded individually to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor, how are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you, first of all, you pray. We ask for the Holy Spirit. Look what Jesus teaching them to pray in Luke 11:13. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to them that ask him. James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, that it shall be given him. We pray, then we stand our post. We stand watch. We stand and watch. We follow the instructions our commander has given us. I'll not go into great detail now for lack of time, but let me just cover these 7 things quickly. Write them down if you've never heard me share these before. You want to be filled with the Spirit? You want the Spirit to control your flesh? Here's the key. Number one, be filled. Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled is pleruo. It means to be crammed full. If you want to think spiritually, then fill your mind full of spiritual things. Singing yourselves psalms and hymns and the things of the Lord. Don't you be filling your mind with Oprah. Or in fact, just take CNBC and MSNBC and CNN out of your house altogether. But when it comes to decision-making mind, you're going to reach into your mind and you're going to pull out whatever you've put there. Be filled with this. And then you'll have God's counsel. What did Isaiah 55 say about that? His ways are far better? Yeah, I think so. Number two, be in church. We've already covered that. You must be in church. Accountability and encouragement. You've heard the illustration before of charcoal. You take one charcoal out and separate it from the fire, and it'll be cold in 20 minutes. You put it all together and leave it in there. It'll stay red hot for hours upon hours. We need the fellowship of born-again believers. Number three, avoid the very appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. It doesn't just say, don't just avoid evil. Avoid anything that looks evil. If it looks like it could be bad, stay away from it. Guess what? That'll keep you safe from stumbling. If you avoid the appearance for evil, then you will avoid the opportunity to do evil. And remember, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Number four, flee fornication. What does flee mean? Run! That word fornication is porneia in the Greek. You come across something your eyes shouldn't see, get away from it. TV, magazines, internet. You say, I can't control my internet. Good. Get rid of the computer. I can't control the television. Good. Get rid of it. Number five, think on good things. That goes along with what you fill your mind in, folks. Peruse, meditate. Day and night is what the psalmist said in Psalm 1 on things of God. Number six, resist the devil, James 4, 7. Who was it that did the Just Say No campaign? Was that Nancy Reagan, yeah. Guess what? Before you were saved, you were enslaved by sin. But Paul said that as a Christian, you have been freed. You have a new master, the Lord Jesus. The devil has no claim on you. Will he tempt you? Yes. What can you say? No. Oh, but the devil made me do it. No, he did not. The devil tempted you and you willingly went along with it. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Bible says there's no temptation taken you, but such is the common demand. But God is faithful, who will along with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Is God's word true? Yes. Absolutely. Number seven, take every thought captive, bring it into obedience. Folks, you must be instinctive about what's right and wrong. You know, as a football player, we had so much repetition and practice that if the opponents moved at the last second, just before the snap of the ball, we knew exactly what to do. We knew our assignments so well. I'll talk with Brother Emmett. Some of you men are in the military. When you guys are training for combat, you have to know your assignments so well. When the action starts flying, you don't have time to think. You've got to be able to instinctively react. And as a Christian, you've got to know right and wrong so well that when temptation or something improper is placed in front of you, you don't have to stop and think about it. You instinctively know what to do and you react. Number four, Peter's road to denial. He didn't get his way. Got mad. Happens to us. We don't get our way. We quit. Peter drew out his sword. He's going to kill one of the arresting officers, and Jesus told him to put his sword away. By the way, he didn't say throw a sword away. He said put it back into its place. Put it back into your scabbard. Folks, Jesus and the Bible is all about self-defense. It's your responsibility to protect your person, to protect your home, and to defend your country when called upon. However, it was not the Lord's will that Peter die a martyr's death that day, and it's not his will that the gospel be spread through the sword. Islam spreads through the sword, but not Christianity. Christianity spreads through the preaching of the gospel and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and a person either receives Christ or not. The sword has no place in this passage here. Besides, it was Jesus' destiny. He had to die as the Passover lamb. But Peter thought, when it came about, hey, I'm going to kill these men. And Jesus said, no. Folks, we must be careful that when we don't get our own way, that we use that as a reason to get mad at God and to abandon our faith and to quit serving Him. How many of you have ever read Job? We probably ought to preach on Job again sometime. Incredible passage. God honors Job, says that he is a just man, faithful and upright in all his ways. Job was doing it right. And God pointed him out to Satan. And Satan, have you noticed how good Job is? Satan said, well, he only loves you because you take such good care of him. He's a mercenary. Take away his stuff and he'd curse you. Okay? Take away his stuff. Stayed faithful. Well, you may have taken away his stuff, but you take away his health and then he'd curse you. Okay. You can take away, you can't kill him, but you can do anything else. You realize what that was? Do you realize Job did not have the privilege of reading the first and second chapters of Job? He just woke up one day and said, what in the world happened? But it was all a test. Satan was going to prove to the angelic host and to all the world that Job was a mercenary. And God proved otherwise. We must be careful that when things happen, we don't get our way. We don't get mad at God. Remember Isaiah 55? God's ways far above our ways. Think about Paul and his own maturity. All the things that Paul had done. What an incredible Christian he was. Had a thorn in the flesh. Said an angel of Satan was sent to buffet him. And Paul prayed that that would be removed 3 times. And God said, no, you need that infirmity so that you won't get proud, so that you'll have to lean on me. Therefore, Paul says, I will glory in my infirmities. Hey, Paul had read Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not on your own understanding. Paul had read Job's testimony, but Paul also learned firsthand, and he could with confidence write these words in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Number 5, Peter followed afar off. Ladies and gentlemen, in Revelation, John was commanded to write 7 letters to 7 literal churches in Asia that were also a reflection of the entirety of the church age. These churches were commended for some things and chastised for some others. The last of these 7, which coincides with the age that we're in now or quickly approaching, is called Laodicea. And they received no praise, only correction for being lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. Peter had not quit following the Lord, but he was just following him afar off, which, by the way, is an accurate description of the day in which we live. We want to be secret agent Christians, saved, but not obviously saved. We want to go to church, but not one of those churches. Not one of those lightning rod churches. We like church light so that we can feel good about ourselves and not be challenged to grow and serve. One of the things I said to this banquet hall, banquet room full of listeners yesterday at the Frontenac Hilton in St. Louis, was I said, if you want your pastors to awaken, then quit contributing to their timidity. Quit supporting dead churches. I said, if your pastor doesn't stand up and clearly present the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is salvation in no other name except the Lord Jesus, then... Lynn, would you come finish my message for me? I said, then run him off or get out. I said, if your pastor doesn't preach holiness and stand against and fight against the decay and corruption in our society, then you're a member of a seeker-friendly church. Get out. I said, if your pastor doesn't preach personal, individual sanctification, then you're a member of a seeker-friendly church. Get out. It's people like you that are contributing to the condition of the church that we have today. We want our little 2-minute daily devotional that has like 2 words of scripture and then some real sweet ditty written by some commentary. We want to have that to feel good about the start of our day and then go sip our cocktails in the evening or watch vulgarity on the television rather than be salt and light. We want to just blend in with the world. Peter hadn't abandoned following Jesus. He just was following him from afar off. One preacher said it like this. He said, we have too much Jesus to be comfortable in the world, but we have too much of the world to be comfortable with Jesus. The product is tepid, lukewarm Christianity, and Jesus said, I wish that you were either hot or cold, but instead your lukewarmness just makes me want to spit you out. Number 6, Peter was warming himself by the devil's fire. Goes along with Psalm 1:1. Notice the downhill decay in these 3 steps. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The unblessed man walks in the counsel. Let's ungodly counsel affect his walk. What's next? Next thing you know, he's standing with those that miss the mark. He's standing in the way of sinners firmly. What's next? Sitting in the seat. To be seated is a place of authority. You're at home there. of the scornful, those that are deny the truth. Peter's failure was certain. His backsliding was near complete. He had first argued with God. Then he had boasted in his own power. Then he didn't keep watch or pray. He ignored God's instruction, which is disobedience. Then he got mad at not getting his prayer answered his way. Then he drifted away and was following afar off. Now he was simply awaiting the opportunity, the moment when the spotlight was suddenly shined on him that he could deny the Lord, and he was comfortable in the enemy's camp. Oh, I thought you were a Christian. Why are you here? I thought you were a Christian. Why are you behaving in this manner? I went to they had a reception for Michelle Malkin, Friday evening when I got there. It was at the home. I mean, this is like a neighborhood, like old Nichols Hills, beautiful old mansions. And went to this home, and of course, being a hoi polloi reception, they had red and white wine. And I finally found a place, and I said, "Do you have anything besides wine?" I said, "We have water. Would you like water in a glass?" I said, "No. Can I have the bottle?" Yeah. Yeah. And I walked around with my bottle of water. I wanted to make sure that everybody that was there knew exactly what I was drinking. "Oh, I thought you were a Christian, but why are you drinking it?" "It's just Aquafina." Immediately after this, the cock crowed the second time. And at that very moment, Jesus was being brought out of the house of Caiaphas down those steps, and his eyes met Peter. Nothing was said or needed to be. In the eyes of Jesus, we cannot lie. We stand naked before him. And Peter wept. I look forward to the judgment seat of Christ, and I also don't look forward to the judgment seat of Christ. And I do not believe that we are all going to stand there and watch as each other's lives are being replayed so we can sit there and point. And I think when you recognize the omnipotence and the omnipresence of God, and you recognize, folks, in the glorification, we will not be in natural bodies. We will be in the supernatural. We shall see Jesus as he is, and we shall be like him, the scripture says. I don't believe we'll be bound to a three-dimensional existence. I believe that we will be living in whatever the dimensions there are, 10. That's what most physics professors believe. At the judgment seat of Christ, I believe that each one of us, just as we do now, we just don't realize it, will have his undivided attention. Did you ever think about that? David, you've got Lord's undivided attention. Doc, you've got the Lord's undivided attention. Steve, No. But I will be face to face with Jesus. I don't think a thing's going to need to be said. I don't know whether it'll be in a moment. I don't know whether it'll be a minute, just pause for effect. But I think we will recognize all the things that we have done with the right heart and spirit. And we'll also recognize all that we failed at. I think there will be joy as well as weeping. Then there'll be the "well done. Welcome thou now into the joy of thy Lord." Peter had failed that day because of these six steps. He traveled on the road to denial. But his faith did not fail. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. Love 1 John 1:9 up through 2:2. "My little children, I write these things unto you that you sin not." Don't do it. But when you do, we have an advocate with the Father. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know, Peter learned from his mistakes. He repented of the error of his ways, realizing that it was not his strength but Christ in him. And this man that failed so miserably on this given night, roughly 50 days later, was commissioned by Jesus himself to preach the keynote address at Pentecost, and over 3,000 were saved. My question for you, ladies and gentlemen, members of our church, or those of you that are just visiting our church, do you recognize these steps? Are you somewhere on this path? If so, it's time to repent. It's time to stop and to turn around and to apply these principles for a Spirit-filled life. I invite you to come publicly. I'll not embarrass you. Come to the altar. Rededicate your life. We've got men or ladies that will pray with you. And also, let me ask you this. Most important question. Just picture Jesus' eyes. Eyes of love, but justice. Looking upon Peter, and Peter was just... Peter knew. Looking into the eyes of Jesus, does he know you? Oh, he knows about you because he created you. But does he know you personally as family? Now, folks, that's up to you. We are all God's creation. But we are only children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus died and paid for the sins of the world. He died so that you could be washed in his precious blood and stand robed in his righteousness. He died to purchase a home in heaven for you. But it's not yours unless you accept him by placing your faith and trust in Jesus. Has there been a point in time in your life where you've given your heart and life to Christ? If not, you're not going to heaven. Why not today? We're going to play an invitation as soon as I pray here, and the invitation is for this. If you've never been born again, if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, come today. We've got counselors that will be at the front of the church. We'll be glad to take you into a side area here, private, show you in the Scriptures how that you can walk out of here knowing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. If you're starting to deviate from the path, if you're starting to drift, if you're starting to get away, then stop it. Repent. Turn around. Get back into his loving arms. We thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.